Well, it is good to see you here today. I found myself over this past week coming to the completion of the book I've been writing for well over a year. And man, I'm glad. It's just a good feeling. And you know, when you set out to do something like that, write a book, or if you've written a paper, anything like that, boy, there's a lot of work to it. If you've ever had to write a 25 or 30 page paper, 50 page dissertation, master's, doctoral, whatever, huh? 200 page, yes, ma'am. That's right. That's right. And these types of things are rather daunting and difficult, and you wonder how you would do it, but you know you do, and when you get to it, you're glad. But I find myself this week in an expression of that gratitude. You just kind of begin to reflect, because I began this journey really with a whole lot of nudging from the Lord. It was not something that I really wanted to do or sought to do or thought I could do, but I did. And so even this morning, I just have been reflecting on God's goodness and just how faithful He is to us in whatever situation we find ourselves in. And there is great wisdom in the words, "This too shall pass." We often get caught up in thinking that whatever we're in is the most horrible thing that could ever exist in the history of humankind, and therefore we lose perspective. And I'm not saying to you all that something you personally might be going through now is not difficult. I've just come to learn that no matter how bad things are, there's somebody else out there that's got it worse. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not that we don't face some real things. I mean, you just look around, and I often say we come together, but we don't come in here just hop, skipping, and jumping. We come in here, a lot of us wounded and sick and ill and struggling. Some of us spiritually, some of us physically filled with some type of disease or some problem or difficulty. And we've had people in our midst who've had cancer, others that were here just a short time ago and that cancer took, like Beth. But these things, no matter how difficult they are, even death itself, it has a conqueror. And we should be encouraged in this, and that we can find great encouragement in God's Word. And this morning I wanted us to look at a Psalm of David 28. And this is just one of those Psalms. If you've ever felt that you're just in need of God's mercy, that it's not that you're looking for God necessarily to answer a specific request. God, help me do this. God, give me this. God, heal me. There have been times where I have prayed that God would do specifically those things. But if you're like me, you found that there are certain things that just don't turn back. Certainly death is one of those. Not in the flesh in that sense, you know, in this life. We're temporarily separated from those we love in the Lord. But there have been times where illness has hit me. And you want to pray for healing, and you do, and God just simply says, "Live with it. My grace is sufficient." And I think that we often cry out beyond wanting just simple give me this or do this or do that. We find in relationship that really what we seek is just God's mercy. God, help me bear this. And that's what, to me, Psalm 28 represents in David's life. Beginning in verse 1, he says, I pray to you, O Lord my rock, do not turn a deaf ear to me. When you think about this verse, I pray to you. Now at first this doesn't seem like a great declaration, but it absolutely is. Because so many people want to pray to the dead. So many people want to pray to this or that or some spirit or something else. I'm telling you that David is declaring that, Lord, I'm not going to anybody else. I'm putting all my eggs in this basket. It's to you and you alone, Lord, that I'm praying. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. God, hear me. That is the very foundation. That's where we begin in prayer. There's no other option. You're not looking for an escape clause. You're accepting in this statement, God, I will accept what you ultimately tell me. And that's why many people pray to this person, that person, right? So many people who claim Christianity, they don't simply pray to God in Jesus' name. They want to pray to this dead individual, that dead individual. And why do they do that? Because they don't want to accept what one or the other has told them. Or accept what's happening to them. I don't think these dead individuals speak at all. One reference we have in Scripture to speaking to the dead. Samuel rebuked Saul for speaking to him. And all that came with it was a curse and his own death. That's what happened to King Saul. So he's saying to you, Lord, my rock. I mean, you can't hold on to more than one rock, can you? This is a big rock. This is not like a storm's coming and you're holding a rock in your hand. That's only going to leave you carried away. This is where you cling to a rock that is larger than you. And he says, if you are silent, I might as well give up and die. Boy, is that not a further description of what he just said? I come to you, and if you are silent, if you don't listen, then it doesn't matter anyway. I might as well give up and die. God, it's you and you only. It's you and you alone. I'm not going to go anywhere else. So if you reject me, then there is no other place for me to turn, because I know what so many people out there are wanting to deny. And that is that if God doesn't do it, it isn't going to get done. So then he says, listen to my prayer for mercy. He's letting God know, there's nobody else but you, and I'm in need of mercy. If you're not there, you have been there. And if you haven't been there and you're not there, you will be there. You will find yourself squeezing the bed sheets, grabbing your arms around a pillow, squeezing hard on the steering wheel as you think and meditate upon things, wringing your hands as your elbows rest upon your knees and you're sitting. There's nothing left except to beg God for mercy. Because you have reached a place in faith that Abraham reached, that Isaac reached, that Jacob reached, that Jesus Himself displayed when He lived upon this earth. Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours be done. But God, I'm here. I'm weeping in tears. I need you to hear me because I need mercy. I need mercy. As I cry out to you for help, I lift my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Now, people will think that that's speaking directly about Jerusalem. But let's remember that if you ever held up your hands toward Jerusalem, you're simply holding it up towards a copy of the temple. Because Scripture tells us that God gave to Moses and asked him to reproduce on earth, therefore a copy of the temple that is in heaven. So, if you're going to lift up your hands toward the temple, you would be lifting it up or out to the east, wouldn't you? So when God says, when He says, I'm lifting up my hands toward the temple, He's lifting up His hands to the temple that is not made by the hands of men. He's not lifting it to the east. He's lifting it up because He's raising His hands to God in heaven, where the temple not made by the hands of men dwells. That's exactly what Stephen was speaking of when he spoke of in Acts. We just talked about this not too long ago. You foolish, stiff-necked people, speaking to the Jewish religious leaders, don't you know, don't you realize, don't you understand that God does not live in temples made by the hands of men. So, I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary. Do not drag me away with the wicked and with those who do evil. Those who speak friendly words to their neighbors while planning evil in their hearts. Oh, listen. This is a rephrasing of God's immutable truth. So many times He says, you're a people who praise me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. In fact, that's the first chapter in the book, and I simply entitled it Lipstick on a Pig. Because people who praise God but have no sincerity in their hearts are spiritually putting lipstick on a pig. You see, when our hearts are sincere, then everything else God holds and sees with us is dear. So, don't drag me away with the wicked, those who do evil, those who speak friendly words to their neighbors while planning evil in their hearts. In other words, one of the big sins against the children of Israel is that they live next to people all the while acting like they loved them, but always working against their neighbors. And that's why the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, that's why the Lord tells us in marriage that we're supposed to love our other as we love ourselves. And that if you treat the other cruelly, you're displaying a lack of love even for yourself, because the two have become one. And he goes on to say in verse 4, give them the punishment they so richly deserve. Measure it out in proportion to their wickedness. Pay them back for all their evil deeds. Give them a taste for what they have done to others. Whoa. What he's saying here is, God, I give up any vengeance I would have. I will not exact vengeance. Because Scripture says what? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. So I defer to them. Paul, when he was treated poorly in a certain place by some silversmith, he said, God judge him. God deal with him. We talked about it in Sunday school, Bible study, how Michael, when he was hiding the body of Moses, it speaks of it in Jude. Michael looked when confronted with Satan and said, God rebuke you, Satan. Vengeance is God's. Vengeance is God's. He goes on to say, they care nothing for what the Lord has done or for what His hands have made. They don't remember the things and the mighty acts of the Lord. They don't remember them even in their own lives or even recognize them. I'm telling you that if you cannot look out at creation and see that God made it, you will not recognize what God's doing in your own life. You won't realize the marvels that He has done. The accepting of creation is not simply the first act of God because that's what He wanted to do. He puts it in the order He does by it being the Genesis, because if you do not accept the very first act of God, you will not accept the greatest act of God, which was the redemption of mankind through the power of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Though that is the very essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They care nothing for what God has done. You can't care for Jesus and deny God as Creator. You can't do it. You can't call Him a liar on one hand and the truth giver on the other. He is truth or He isn't. And really, this is what we spoke about also, wasn't it? That people don't have a high view of God. They don't care for what He's done. They don't care for what He's made. So He will tear them down, and they will never be rebuilt. When God tears something down, it does not go back together. And likewise, this declaration also tells us that if God builds the house, nothing can tear it down. Right? You remember the scripture? The same thing is true. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. So go to the opposite and see the truth. If God builds a house, those who would attempt to destroy it labor in vain. God establishes the generations. God establishes His praise and His glory throughout the ages. Praise the Lord, for He has heard my cry for mercy. Wait a minute. What do we know? Well, we know. Verse 3. Don't drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil. The cry for mercy is that God would heal, God would rebuild, God would forgive. Mercy. Praise the Lord. He has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In other words, I was torn up, but God Himself is going to shield me. He is going to be my strength. He is my rock. He helps me. My heart is filled with joy. Now, the wicked are still there. His situation is still dire. It's still difficult. And yet, He knows joy. And you see, in faith, that is the great immutable truth of God, is that even though I may carry a disease, I may have an illness, I may be physically sick, I may be struggling in areas, I can, in the midst of those struggles, still know joy. And if I'm not experiencing joy, even though these hardships are there, it's not because God's power can't reach me. It's not because God's not answering my prayer to bring healing in this instant. If God would do this, then I would be joy-filled. If God would do this, then I would know happiness. If God. No, God's power is so almighty that even though we are in a sin-sick world, we can know the joy and presence of God in the midst of it. That is true power. God can take our sinful natured bodies, put His disposition, the same Spirit that was in Christ in us, and He repurposes us for this world in the here and now. And even though we face difficult times, we can know joy now and abundantly so that it overflows. And it gives God glory. He helps me. My heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. Singing comes. Thankfulness comes. Because in the midst of all of these things, we still know joy. And what is the one thing that doesn't change? My health may come and go. My youth will come and go. My work may come and go. Famines and wars may come and go. Loved ones will come and go. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's why He's the rock. And so I burst out singing. I love the little songs. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And there are many others. The Lord gives His people strength. And I really believe that it's because when the people of God see individuals, followers of the Lord, strong in the Lord, even in the midst of difficulties, they are encouraged and they are strengthened. The Lord gives His people strength. He is a safe fortress for His anointed king. Save your people. Bless Israel, your special possession. And we know that in the New Testament, He calls all who follow Christ His special inheritance, His special possession. Lead them like a shepherd and carry them in your arms forever. Why joy? Why a rock? Because the Lord carries us and helps us through. Well, that's the word this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, You alone are unchanging. And we ask You to hear our cry for mercy. Do not carry us away with the wicked. But Lord, let us ever be dependent upon You. You judge the wicked, those who do evil against their neighbors. And let us be filled with thanksgiving and gratefulness, for we recognize what You have done. We remember the works of Your hand, and we give You praise. You are our God, and we will serve no other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.